Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The way history works in Romania and Eastern Europe, there's like a big battle every 5 years for the survival of the nation, like every five years.
So you can't keep track of all.
Yeah, you can't. They're all kind of important, like all of them. If we lost, we would have spoken a different language. And the language we speak there now is because we did lose some wars there.
So yeah, 1877, Romanian Parliament, that guy, what was his name?
Cogălnicianu.
He read the Act of Independence of Romania as the will of the Romanian people. A day later, on May 22nd, the act was signed by Prince Carol I. I can handle that name.
Carol, actually.
Fuck off, Fredo. For symbolic reasons.
We didn't have a King Carol.
Well, why is your name Carol? Get a guy's name, you fucking weirdo.
Year Is with Red and Bobby.
Welcome to the Year Is podcast, the podcast where every episode we travel back to a year in history. We talk about the weirdest, the most interesting, the strangest things from that year. You're probably thinking, who is this guy the last couple weeks? It's been Red Richardson and various guests while I gallivanted around Canada, but guess what? Now I'm back and Red is in Dubai, in prison, I'm assuming. I don't actually know if he's in... I don't think he's in prison, but he's in Dubai. And I can imagine him doing something in Dubai that would land him in prison. Possibly, you know, insulting the king, showing a nude photo of himself to someone, kissing a man. I don't know what he's going to do in Dubai that gets him thrown in the slammer, but it's probably already happened. We have to assume Red's never going to escape. So from now on, this podcast is me and whoever sits in for Red in vigil. Whoever sits in kind of, we talk about the good times we had with Red, not today. But we, you know, this whole podcast now, because of Red's imprisonment in Dubai, has become more than just a podcast. It's a rallying cry. Keep Red in prison. This podcast is now devoted to Red's lifetime imprisonment in the Kingdom of Dubai. And here with me to further that cause is our co-host this week and our guest and my friend.
And person.
And a person on his own, in his own right, outside of me. He exists. He is not a figment of my imagination. Radu Isaac.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me. Hi, everybody at home.
I've never heard anyone on a podcast do that before. Hi, everybody at home.
I'm assuming,
like it's everybody. Morning TV.
Hi, everybody on a jog.
Yeah. I don't assume anyone who enjoys my voice also exercises.
Yeah. Hi, everybody in a drive-thru.
Hi, everybody with dried cum on their stomachs, texting, asking if they can please see their kids, even though they know the custody arrangement says it's not for 2 weeks. Thank you for coming, Radu.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm more responsible. I wouldn't go to Dubai.
No, you wouldn't go to Dubai and do whatever Red has done that has given him this life sentence.
Out of a principle. You know, those people that kind of complain all the time, like, how could you go to Saudi Arabia and do that?
You know, I wouldn't go to somewhere on a vacation where if my wife was sexually assaulted, she could be put in prison for it. Like, I think that's a bad idea for a vacation.
Yeah.
Destination.
Yeah.
It seems like that could really go south.
Okay, I wouldn't go to North Korea either.
No, they often kill Westerners.
But I think it happens once in a while, not that often.
Yeah, but it sticks. I feel like the stats are still like above 1%.
The reason I wouldn't go, coming from a dictatorship, because I know we're gonna discuss politics today, I feel like it's kind of sick of people from like rich countries to go and visit people from the poorest country in the world. It's a bit of like going to the zoo and like looking around.
I get what you mean. But that is a lot of countries.
The whole thing of teenagers. We're going to go on an adventure. We're going to go and look at poor people in North Korea. It feels like, ugh, I don't feel like your parents raised you right.
Yeah, but the people who live in those countries are really happy for you to come usually because they get some of your money.
I think they're afraid of anything and they're not allowed like foreign currency and stuff.
Oh, well, North Korea specifically, it's its own crazy thing. But I mean, most developing countries, or whatever word is now used to describe a country that isn't as good at stealing resources as the West.
Okay.
I would say they're happy to have you. You know, you go to Cambodia, they're like, welcome, please.
Yeah, I guess.
Spend.
Yeah, that's true. But also, I feel like there's a higher risk of being kidnapped in Cambodia than it is in North Korea.
You mean in North Korea than in Cambodia?
No. In Cambodia, the higher risk. Because
really?
I think so, because it's like everybody wants your money, so some people own the hotel, but some people just own like a sword.
Okay.
So they're going to use a sword to get the money.
A sword.
So like, but like in North Korea, the rule of law is very strict. Nobody's going to go and rob you.
I would be quite confident, actually, if someone had pulled out a sword, because I think I can outrun them.
You think
I can outrun anyone who's trying to carry around a giant sword?
I don't know. You're too much of a city boy. I'm assuming people in the villages.
They can run.
Maybe they have like a thing to put the sword in the back or something. Maybe
like a sheath.
Like a sheath. I didn't know that word.
Like a ninja sheath.
Sheath?
Yeah, that's okay. What it's called when you put a sword into something, Radu.
It's a taka in Romanian.
A taka. A daka?
Taka.
Taka. Cool. I'm learning. I'm loving, I'm living, I'm learning. Red was just denied breakfast by his Dubai guard and he burst into tears. I just got a text. That's what he's up to. He hasn't eaten in 18 hours, which for Red is a very long time.
Imagine.
He's struggling to breathe.
The good news is Red is allowed to listen to the podcast.
He is. They're not doing it as a kindness. They're doing it to break him. They're playing this episode on repeat in his cell to try to get him to admit that he said the king was a silly boy. That's why he's in prison for the rest of his life. He said, that guy's a silly boy. And they said, you are going to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. You're going to rot in his cell with his hot daughters.
Okay.
And after a couple days, they'll be like, bring back our dad, please. R.I.P. No, not R.I.P. Well, R.I.C. Rest in cell, Red. I hope that you're having a good morning and you're learning to get along with the other inmates. And I hope that you are enjoying whatever. I don't know what the food is in Dubai, but I hope it's good.
I think it's good. Yeah, you've done those gigs, right?
No, I never did.
Yeah, the food is very good.
Okay.
Red's going to come back fatter.
But I think the food you're talking about is probably the food of the luxury hotels you stay at when you do the gigs.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the prison.
I feel like it's still sort of better than like a greasy spoon in the UK.
You think Dubai prison food, a country that has slaves, is better?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. I don't trust a slave-owning nation to take care of its prisoners.
Okay, I've had the best kebab there, like a €3 kebab, and like somebody was selling it at the exit of a club. They didn't even have like their own space. They just had like a cart. Just
incredible.
Just the best kebab.
I believe you.
For €3.
Okay, well, hopefully that guy is catering Red's prison. Otherwise, he will be crying even more right now.
If he gets like €1 kebabs, I think they're better than the kebabs in the UK.
Okay. I believe you wholeheartedly, Radu.
I think Red's going to be happy in prison.
There's
That's
one thing
I'm trying to say.
You might not have noticed about me. Okay. I've really changed as a guy, and that is I'm wearing a hat.
It looks like an old person. It's not like a teenager's
no,
hat.
No, not old person.
Yeah, no, like...
No, Radu.
Not a teenager's
Radu,
hat.
Radu, this is not what you're supposed to say.
It's not like
say.
A bright color. That's
no,
what I'm going to say.
It's gritty. It's cool. It's like, wow, that guy's seen shit.
Yeah, you look your age. Somehow you managed to find a hat for 37-year-old people.
Like, whatever. I'm a relaxed, cool guy. I went on stage. I had a great set in this hat. And now I'm like, this hat is who I am.
Okay.
You ever have that with a piece of clothing? Or if you kill in that piece of clothing, you're like, I didn't know I had a lucky shirt.
I have a couple of hats, but then I also, the confidence makes me bomb in the hat, and then I hate the hat forever.
Yeah.
I have some hoodies and a hat that I hate forever.
What about like a male chastity belt where they like lock your cock?
I don't have that one.
It'd be really annoying if you have one good set in your male chastity belt. Where your cock is locked away and you're unable to get an erection. And you're like, God damn it. Now I have to wear this my cock protection every time I go on stage.
You wear it for a bit. If it makes you a millionaire, why not?
Yeah, I would wear it for a bit.
Kevin Hart is wearing one. Kevin Hart definitely has one.
It doesn't get talked about a lot. Kevin Hart, he was in a farming accident as a child, doesn't have a penis.
Okay.
I've been spreading that rumor. Yeah, it's kind of amazing what he's done.
So he wears a chastity belt over a non-penis?
Yeah. He
just
wears
over his balls?
Like a male chastity belt. A cock cage is what they call it. He wears a cock cage.
Okay.
That's the word. I was looking for the word. Cock cage.
Cock cage.
But what is shocking is when you remove the cock cage, there's nothing there. So that's the struggle he deals with day to day. Red deals with being in prison. And we deal with history, the biggest struggle of all, right? Because how someone can frame history is how someone decides who you are. If you're framed in history as a good guy, you're a good guy. If you're framed in history as a bad guy, you're a bad guy.
Yeah, that's true.
All of life is really history. Everything that happened before now is history. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about everything before right now.
Nothing in the future. We don't care about what's happening tomorrow.
No, unpredictable, you know?
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Talking about the past is great because you are an authority because it's already happened. You can just say what you think, really.
Yeah. I do love getting time after a big event to think about it and form like a correct opinion and tell people.
So we're going to go back to a year, which means a lot to the people of this room and the people of Romania, Radu.
Okay.
What year do you think we're going back to?
It's just because you told me before the... I was going to say 1918. That's the one I guessed. But you went like 1877?
Yes, Radu. That was the whole... Can't you just... We were trying to replay a moment, Radu.
I should have said just 1918.
Yes, that was obviously what was happening.
I feel like this is more honest. I feel like the audience should appreciate our honesty.
Radu, fine.
Okay.
We're going to 1877, the year Romania was founded.
Let me Google it very quickly.
No, don't Google it. What would you? What? But you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't think that Romania was founded in 1877.
So you're saying that's when we got like we declared independence from the Ottoman Empire?
Yes.
Okay. I know there's like another date. I know it's definitely the 24th of January, but I think that's like 1856.
Okay. Well, maybe in Romania. Listen, I don't think a country is actually the best at keeping its own history.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Because that, you know, you're too close to it. You're too close to the eye of the storm to know the nature of the storm.
Oh, do you know, like, British politicians, even now, they don't admit that they fucked over India. Like, even, like, officially the UK helped India.
Wow.
If you ask the king and the prime minister.
Yeah, even though in the 1850s, they killed millions of people because they forgot to grow food.
And the same with Australia as well. What they were doing out there, just basically, euthanizing
the indigenous people.
Yeah.
And they're still not admitting it. They're still sort of, no, we never did anything of the sorts.
Yeah, look at what we created.
Yeah, no, we just fought the Nazis. That's the only thing we did in history.
But
the British fought the Nazis. No, that's it. No, we just fought the Nazis. That's the only thing we did. We just fought the Nazis.
But they supported them before they went to war with them.
Oh, yeah. For a period of time, there were there were some lords in the UK that was saying the Nazis are the next Elon Musk.
But in Romania,
okay,
you had your own Nazis, didn't you? The Ottoman Empire.
Okay, yeah. They were the horrible people for like a good couple of hundred years.
The Ottoman Empire gets overlooked. They were kicking ass for like 600 years. Well, they were like running fucking everything.
They were the main, like all of the crusades and stuff, all of the Western sort of Christianity, they were fighting. The main adversary was the Ottoman Empire, from what I know.
The Ottomans actually, like, for the time, there was progressive elements of the Ottoman Empire. Like, they took the Jews in at the time. You know, Christians could live there. But they just have to pay higher taxes.
Yeah. So I think when people refer to like the Dark Ages, those only happened like in Western Europe. And then like in the Ottoman Empire area, there weren't ever any Dark Ages. It kept getting better. But also, I don't know that for sure. You kind of hijacked me.
On this podcast, there is no saying, I don't know that for sure. Everyone listening knows there's a good chance what is being said is not true.
Yeah, that's true.
Is not a fact, as people who deal in facts would call it. This is a lot of confident conjecture. If we said that, we'd have to say it after every sentence.
I feel like people that deal with facts also should say that after every sentence.
In 1877, by a speech in Parliament of Romania by... Oh my God, I have to try to say a Romanian name, right? This is hell.
Nicolae Bălcescu.
Mihail Kogelnicno?
Kogelniciano?
Yeah, that guy. Do you know him?
Yeah, you
went to school with him?
No, like junior high. My junior high was called Mihail Kogelniciano.
Well, did you know why? Do you know who he was?
I know that he was like a politician.
He was a politician who declared Romania independent from the Ottoman Empire in 1877. And that's why your school is named after him. I'm so glad I can help. That is why, because that's what this guy did. He might have done other shit. I'm not aware. He might have done good things. He might have done terrible things. But in 1877, he did that. But was it recognized as independent right away? No. That happened in 1878, after the end of the Romanian Independence War. A Romanian you are. But this war that happened in the 1870s where you got independence from the Ottoman Empire, who had their boot on your neck for many years.
But the way history works in Romania and in Eastern Europe, there's like a big battle every 5 years for a big battle for the survival of the nation, like every five years.
So you can't keep track of all.
Yeah, you can't. They're all kind of important. Like all of them, if we lost, we would have spoken a different language. And the language we speak there now is because we did lose some wars there. we didn't win everything.
Wait, what's Romanian derived from?
So it's like
is it like Roman? An offshoot of Roman?
It's Latin, most of it, and then it's a bit Slavic.
Really? So everyone's like Latin's dead, but Romanian is pretty close.
Oh yeah. So no, it's one of the six Latin languages. Our closest is Italian. Italian is the closest language to Romanian.
Okay.
And then there's Russian. The Slavic languages. I think I heard there's something like 30% words are from Slavic.
Again, not I think I heard.
Okay.
It's
know.
It's a fact.
I counted.
It is a fact, Radu. Say it like it's true, baby.
I counted. Da, is adevărat.
There is no room for indecision on the year is. There is only what we think, but what we think is actually what we know.
That makes sense.
So yeah, 1877, Romanian Parliament. That guy, what was his name?
Kogelniciano.
He read the Act of Independence of Romania as the will of the Romanian people. A day later, on May 22nd, the act was signed by Prince Carol I. I can handle that name.
Carol, actually.
Fuck off, Radu. For symbolic reasons.
We didn't have a King Carol.
Well, why is your name Carol? Get a guy's name, you fucking weirdo. So for symbolic reasons, the day of May 10th was celebrated as Independence Day until 1947, since it's also marked the celebration of the day when the German prince Carol first came to Bucharest. After the declaration, the Romanian government immediately canceled paying tribute to the Ottoman Empire, and the sum was given instead to the Romanian War Ministry. That's quite badass, actually. Initially, before 1877, Russia did not wish to cooperate with Romania since they didn't want Romania to participate in the peace treaties after the war. But the Russians encountered a very strong Ottoman army of 40,000 soldiers led by Osman Pasha at the siege of Pleven, where the Russian troops led by Russian generals suffered very heavy losses and were routed in several battles. I shouldn't have read this part.
I think Plevna. The siege of Plevna?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Have you heard of that siege?
I've heard about it. Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I heard about it.
Okay,
there's a street in Rome. There's like a big boulevard in Bucharest called Calea Plevnei.
So here's what happened, okay? By the way, this is a war of independence, and it has three paragraphs on Wikipedia.
So do you think it should have more?
I'm just saying if it was Britain, it would have 10 pages.
That's true, but it's also like Wikipedia in English.
Yeah, well,
We have a big book at home. There have been more paragraphs written by the War of Independence.
I'm just saying, the point is, it should have made it to Wikipedia by now.
Maybe. I don't know how Wikipedia works. I heard it's kind of... I'm not on Wikipedia either. I heard it's kind of like a...
You don't have a Wikipedia?
No, I don't Radu. Have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, we got to get you on... If you're not on Wikipedia...
It's kind of a pain in
the ass. This podcast would never know about you, and therefore you don't exist. The only history that's happened is history that's on Wikipedia.
So I don't exist. I don't exist from a not independent country.
Due to great losses, Grand Duke Nikolai Nikolovich, the Russian commander-in-chief, asked Prince Carol for the Romanian army to intervene and join forces with the Russian army. Okay.
So basically what happened is like the Russian Empire became big enough to challenge the Ottoman Empire.
And Romania
and they decided,
where should
we have the fight? Let's have it on Romanian territory. It's more or less of what's happening in the Ukraine.
The war in Ukraine is about freedom.
It's about freedom. That's
the war
true.
In Ukraine is about freedom. It's about people who want to be free.
Yeah,
and it's about
well.
The West nicely giving weapons to those people that want to be free. It's that simple.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So they're like, hey, let's use Romania as the battleground for Russia and the Ottoman Empire. So Prince Carol, he accepts the Duke's proposal to become the marshal of the Russian troops in addition to the command of his own Romanian army, thus being able to lead the combined armed forces to the conquest of Plevna. Plevna?
Yeah, maybe it's not what I was... Maybe it's not Plevna. Does it end with an I?
Plevna.
I can't do it. I can't spell in my head with English letters.
Okay, so Carol, even though he has a girl's name, he's leading both armies. That's quite cool.
Yeah, he is.
He's Romanian. He's got the Russian army. He's got the Romanian army. He's going in. There's heavy fighting, but guess what? There's a surrender. The Turkish general, Osman Pasha. The army won the battle of Grivitsa and Rahova.
Rahova and Grivitsa?
Yeah, well, actually, I was very close.
Yeah, Grivitsa was impressively, because it's also like a letter that's not really the T letter.
Oh, well, they spelled it phonetically for me, I think.
Okay.
There's no, like, not letter. On the 28th of November, 1877, the Plevna Citadel capitulated.
Okay.
And Osman Pasha surrendered the city, the garrison, and his sword to the Romanian colonel, Mihail Kerchez. No idea on that one. Yeah. And Russian division commander Ivan Genetsky.
Genetsky, okay.
After the occupation of Plevna, the Romanian army returned to the Danube and won the battle of Vidlin and Smarden.
So if you went to school in Romania, that exact story happened like 20 times. Only this time around it was Russia. But it was like 20 times when the Romania fought. They decided, okay, we're not going to pay tribute anymore. We're going to have a fight. We won the fight. And then
someone else, bigger force.
And then you know, it's like a TV show that they get married, but the next episode they're still separated.
Someone else is just taking them over, like we've got to do it again.
So every new episode, it starts off with we're paying tribute, and the lesson ends with and then we stopped paying tribute, and then
Do you think? Like, is it that Romania doesn't have like the natural resources to kind of build up an empire the same way as these other empires? Is it like just population disparity? Like there's more people on each side of you?
No, I think it's... I think it was...
Why do some countries just get fucked over and over?
Because it's just like... Just a couple of countries that do the fucking over and over.
Yeah.
So it was like in Europe, it was Italy, Turkey,
And Turkey did a lot of fucking the Ottomans, yeah.
Yeah, Russia. Gets forgotten. Maybe the Macedonia.
But like people talk about the UK until
Poland and Hungary.
The UK likes to think of itself as this powerhouse. But like up until they got ships in like this, I think probably 1600s. I was reading this thing, the Ottomans got invited to visit England and they didn't even bother. They were like, who are these fucking people? You know, they were like...
Oh, yeah. They were like expanded on like 3 continents, I think. I think they had part of Asia, Africa, and...
Yeah, they were fucking killing it.
Romania.
Collecting taxes. The Ottoman Empire had a very specific rules of succession where if the king had a few sons, right?
Okay.
The winning son kills his brothers.
Ooh.
If you win, you got to make sure that no one's coming for you, and it's like survival of the fittest.
That's quite nice, because also then the sultan, the big guy, has lived life a bit.
Yeah, it's like your first test is kill your family, and then you can be in charge.
Yeah, I respect that. I think that should happen with. Like if Bush had to kill his brothers before going to...
Well, Bush definitely had no problem pulling the trigger. I mean, he didn't waver.
I think after killing the brother, the guilt would have gotten him a bit, so he would have been like a nicer president.
Oh, I don't know if these people felt guilt. I don't know if they're feeling guilt. Maybe. I think time has already probably taken Biden's siblings.
Yeah.
I feel like Johnny Biden died in 72.
Did you see Mitch McConnell yesterday? And doing some speech, and he just stopped talking midway through a sentence and then just froze there and then just had to be moved aside.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 88 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who Mitch McConnell is?
I know. The leader of the Republican Party?
Yeah, but in the Senate, I think.
Just in the Senate, okay. But yeah, the puppets are getting old now.
Yeah. That is an old dolly. Excuse me, we're going to need a new ventriloquist dummy because our dummy is fucking old. Yeah, there's this Dianne Feinstein. She's an American. I think she's a senator also. She's been a senator since like the 1400s. Okay. And she clearly has Alzheimer's disease. And they just keep like hiding her because she's like, doo, doo, doo. And they're like, yeah, you're still a senator. Go for it, Dianne.
It's sad. I wish people would get like angrier and stuff and like throw things. I really like how they...
The French.
Yeah, the French.
You love the French.
I love the French. They fucked over other countries as well. But I feel like at least their government isn't fucking them over as much as...
Domestically, they don't take shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a huge riot because they wanted to raise the age of retirement to like, what, 64, was it?
Something like that, yeah, by 2 years. I don't know.
65. It seemed quite reasonable to me. If I was there, I'd be like, that makes sense. You can't retire at 60 when you live to be 100. You know, like...
I feel like the way technology is progressing, I feel like the retirement age should go down like every 5 years.
Yeah, but then they'd have to tax the tech companies. The only way that works is if you then tax the tech companies, but are getting more and more of our money.
Oh, yeah.
If every tech company is just sucking up so much money, it's like, well, yeah, we need a share of that money.
Yeah, but they can't tax them because they're
like
powerful
the international. But they could really, if
like the Ottoman Empire could tax Romania, but it couldn't tax Russia.
Yes, but if all of the countries got together, the governments, and were like, let's get them, then they have nowhere to go.
That's true, but then all of the puppets aren't ever gonna make a plan.
Yeah,
all of the puppets from all of the countries. Want to become real boys.
They all want to be real boys in the same day. Romania got independence, 1877, and everyone lived happily ever after.
Yeah, that's true. Right? That's what I know of it as well. The Ottoman Empire was definitely like the biggest foe we ever had. But I don't know if that's necessarily exaggerated by like the Russia, who was like a foe. And Russia to Romania was like what the UK is to Ireland.
Sure.
It's very easy for Russia to kind of say they helped us, and like for a long time Russia was just our friend in like the history books.
Yeah.
So they kind of made the Ottoman Empire like the bigger foe.
Then World War II came.
World War II came.
And you fought Russia.
But we were like allies for a, we were mostly.
No, you fought them, but then you were allies again at the end.
I think both World War Two, both World Wars. Yeah, we started. There was like a power struggle in the country, and then the side that wanted to root for Germany won, but also Germany's guns were closer to our heads.
Okay.
And then when Germany's guns actually started shooting our heads, we switched to
the
sides. Yeah, the allies.
Villains never think they're villains.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos thinks he's a nice person.
Yeah, everyone does. Everyone thinks they're a nice person. That's the weirdest thing, once you realize that every person you think is like an insufferable cunt thinks everyone else is a cunt. Like, a bad person doesn't think they're a bad person ever.
Yeah.
They think actually a sign of a bad person is someone who thinks a lot of people are bad people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, unless you're in a fucking very oppressive, like, look, yeah, if you're in a concentration camp, you're probably surrounded by some bad people. Actually, you're surrounded by mostly probably also good people, and then the few people who are oppressing you. But if you're,
yeah, if, you see
if you're,
too much
if you're
fault
just a
in
guy,
other people.
If you see the fault in everyone and think everyone else is an asshole, you're the asshole. Always.
I have decades of opinions that I've managed to suppress. These days, I don't really like guys with long hair. I just look down on them.
Redu, I'm a guy with long hair.
It's not long enough, but you know,
you're looking at me saying that. You're looking at me with a glint in your eye saying, I don't like guys with long hair. This is an attack. You just feel confident saying it because Jody's here and he's bald. That's what it is. You saw the baldness of Jody and thought, I'm going to tell Bobby what I really think.
I feel like Jody wants to be on the winning side of the hair argument.
Yeah, Jody. Oh, I'm the axis of hair evil, and you guys are the fucking short-haired allies coming for me. Well, cut off my beard, chop off my hair. You won't kill my fucking banjo-playing spirit. Just because I've got a hat on doesn't mean under this hat is not a head of beautiful hair hiding a balding man.
But that's what I was going to say. I don't like guys with like long hair, but also I have like a lot of friends with guys with long hairs and stuff. Like, I managed to ignore that opinion.
Okay.
And kind of still see the person.
Oh, like, I'm glad you can see me, Radu. Oh, thank you for that kindness. You're able to look past my disgusting hair.
If it was longer, yeah, it would be harder, yeah.
Oh, so if enough. I start putting it in a ponytail.
Oh yeah, ponytail.
Okay, well, I'll send back the hair ties because that was gonna be today, baby. I wanted to. God, now that I got this cool hat, I thought, what if a ponytail? Wouldn't it look cool if a ponytail was just like it's not long enough to hang, but just stuck out the back of the hat and like tied tight in a bun.
So yeah, can we all agree that it's okay to look down on
we can't
on guys
agree?
With ponytails?
It's no, we can't agree on that.
I don't know. There's a guy with short hair identifying as a guy with long hair.
Like, that is. I don't have short hair. I have luscious locks because I plan on having very long hair in my new life, working for a circus, and operating a carnival ride in different towns. In 1877,
okay.
Realizing that his people are weakened by cold and hunger, Chief Crazy Horse of the Oglala Sioux, it's a tribe, surrenders to the United States troops in Nebraska. Now, I know you're thinking, who's Crazy Horse? Well,
okay.
You're about to find out. Crazy Horse was a Lakota war leader of the Oglala Band in the 19th century. He took up his arms against the United States federal government to fight against encroachment by white American settlers on Native American territory and to preserve the traditional way of life of the Lakota people. His participation in several battles of the Black Hills War on the Northern Great Plains, among them the Fetterman fight in 1866, in which he acted as a decoy, and the Battle of the Little Bighorn in 1876, in which he led a war party to victory, earned him the great respect from both his enemies and his own people. In 1877, 4 months after surrendering to U.S. troops under General George Crook, Crazy Horse was fatally wounded by a bayonet-wielding military guard while allegedly resisting imprisonment at Camp Robinson in present-day Nebraska. So he died in prison. Was he resisting arrest? No, probably not.
I feel like the things that the police is getting away with these days, I can't imagine what it was like 200 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. Yeah. When you realize what the cops get away with now, you're like, well, they could fucking do anything then.
Yeah.
And this is now when people have eyes on them all the time and they still do crazy shit.
Back then, like, all the witnesses would be dead. And it's hard to get people to listen to a story of a cop killed me if a cop killed like 500 people in that village that week. So yeah, I'm happy with living in the present, I'm going to say.
Yeah, good.
Although I feel like this might be the sweet spot. We talk about global warming once in a while, but I feel like this is the best time to be alive. Like in 10 years from now it's going to be shit again.
It might go down. Because on paper, it's still better and better to be alive every year. Like less poverty, even though there's war, less war worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually year after year.
Yeah.
Like statistically, it's like less people are less needless death.
Okay.
But as we cook ourselves, it might get interesting. Hey guys, we've got into a pot of water on a stove and we just turned on the heat. Oh, it's getting a bit warmer in here. And then, oh, it's a bit hot. And then you think, well, it's just hot. What's the problem? But then a couple minutes later, you're in boiling water.
Yeah.
And
your skin starts to...
Yeah, you're fucking melting. In 1877, Alexander Graham Bell. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah, the phone guy?
Well, yes. So he installed the world's first commercial telephone service. In Hamilton, Ontario.
We don't have that. We have... Oh, yeah, for like, flight, we have, like, somebody that we say in Romania, you know, there's the Wright brothers, but there's, like, another dude that we say invented the plane in Romania.
Really?
I'm assuming...
Wait, who's this guy?
I don't know. Aurel Vlaicu or somebody else.
But the Wright brothers, you don't give a shit about the Wright brothers in Romania. You're just like...
Yeah, yeah, we don't. And I feel like it's the same with like the Alexander Graham Bell. I think there's like another 20 countries that have a dude that say they invented the phone.
Radu, he was a Canadian hero.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, he was Scottish born, but you know, he did it in Canada.
Okay.
He co-founded the American Telephone and Telegraph Company. Have you heard of it? AT&T.
Oh.
Big company even today.
Okay.
That's him. He looked great, Mr. Bell. Big bushy beard, kind of balding head, nice plump cheeks, Mr. Bell. He was a Scottish-born inventor, scientist. He was an engineer. He credited with patenting the first telephone, but his father, grandfather, and brother had all been associated with work on elocution and speech. And both his mother and wife were deaf, which profoundly influenced his life work. So this is a man with a moral... compass. So it's like half his family loves talking and the other half can't hear.
He was driven to fix communication.
He was driven to fix communication. Isn't that perfect? His research on hearing and speech further led him to experiment with hearing devices, which eventually culminated in Bell being awarded the first U.S. patent for the telephone. He was trying to make a hearing device.
You know, they say the big debate of if geniuses are born or made. Alexander Graham Bell was made a genius. By his death.
So he was trying to make a hearing aid and he made a telephone.
Which is still pretty close.
Yeah, because today hearing aids still suck. My grandma has one. They blow. That's 150 years ago. The hearing aid is still a shitty invention, but they've perfected the telephone. People who can't really hear that well still can't hear that well.
Have you tried the hearing aid? I never tried one.
No, but I mean, maybe they don't suck for everyone. Some people, I'm sure they really sort it out, but like there's a certain, I think it's a hard adjustment, I think.
Okay, to get used to.
Yeah, because the noise just sounds different. Than if you lose your hearing, it's definitely different than hearing.
Okay.
If you have no hearing, it's definitely, you're like, wow, I can hear something. That's amazing.
Better, yeah, yeah. Can I jump to blind people very quickly?
Okay.
You know, like the dolphins and stuff, and they use sonar.
Yeah,
Yeah, and bats and stuff. So basically, yeah, they make a sound and it comes back, and they tested it on like blind people, and I've seen it on YouTube like 10 years ago, and I don't know what's the hold up basically, but like a blind dude with like a sonar on his head, and he got used to it, and then basically he was riding a bicycle and like on a circuit and going around the obstacles and everything with the sonar, on a bicycle, a blind dude,
Really?
It was like 10 years ago, and I don't know why the technology hasn't really advanced since we're on the subject.
Does it look stupid? Because I think people, don't, even if you're blind, you don't want to look stupid.
If you're blind, do you mind if you look stupid?
I care. I want to look cool. I mean, I'm a listen.
But if you're blind, you can't tell how it looks.
You still know though. I think like look. You look at me right now. What do you think? Rugged trucker, fucking cool guy. Probably an intellectual, but isn't really trying to float it. Like you know. But if you got like sonar headphones on and you're making clicking noises like a dolphin. You have to make a noise. Do they make the noise? Like,
no, I think the thing makes a noise.
Oh, I thought you were saying they make those. They go constantly. It's gonna be, you know, it's hard to look cool. They're like, nah, I just rather be blind. But what's okay? So
1877.
So what's crazy though? So he got the patent for the telephone. But he considered his invention an intrusion on his real work as a scientist and refused to have a telephone in his study. So he didn't even really like the telephone. He was like, oh, fuck, I accidentally invented the greatest worst thing. I'd like to work on hearing aids. But other inventions marked his later life, including groundbreaking work in optical telecommunications, hydrofoils, and aeronautics. He had a strong influence on the National Geographic Society, that magazine we all jerked off to. So, I mean, that's good.
Okay.
Do people masturbate to National Geographic in Romania?
No. So the first boobs I saw them in a museum in my hometown.
Okay.
Like the last floor, there's a painting with them.
Someone had stripped a woman naked and tied her up. That's a museum. This is a woman, and she's like, "Can I please? I'd like to have lunch." That's a Romanian museum.
That's exactly what it was. But then we just had like some magazines. No, we never had the National Geographic.
A great magazine. I learned a lot.
Okay. We had like proper.
Yeah. Some nipples can be long. Beyond his work in engineering, Bell.
I've seen an open vagina before I've seen a closed vagina, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Where? In the museum. They had a woman just fucking tied, just her feet hog tied wide open, like a cow giving birth or something.
Yes. I'm going to go back there and see if she's still there.
Yeah, she'll be an old girl now. She'll be an old girl ready to be put out to pasture.
That's still going to be educational for me.
Beyond his work in engineering, Bell had a deep interest in the emerging science of heredity.
Okay.
His work in the area has been called the soundest, most useful study of the human heredity proposed in 19th century America. Bell's most noble contribution to the basic science as distinct from invention. So what are you thinking? What is heredity? Well,
so he doesn't
that's biological inheritance.
Okay.
So he, you know, he studied it.
Okay, so he studied how both his mom and his sister were deaf.
Yeah.
Basically.
So that was, I think, yeah.
That's his first observation on hereditary.
It really does seem like this man's love for his family drove all of his work. And his real, like, passion was, like, he was, you know, because he was born in 1877 and not 1950, he was laying all these foundations for everyone else to do the work he was actually trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But an impressive man all the same. Died at age 75 in 1922 in Nova Scotia.
Can you go visit his house? Is there, like, a memorial house of Alexander Graham Bell?
I bet. I don't know about that. There's a rule in this question. On this podcast, right?
Okay.
We don't ask questions.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We don't ask, like, if somebody doesn't say a fact,
okay,
there's a reason for that. They don't know it. So we don't go, like, asking really probing questions as if the person is an actual expert on the topic they're talking. Okay. We just roll with the information that is given.
Okay, I got this from now. Can I apologize or should I?
Don't apologize.
No, okay, sorry about that.
Don't apologize. It's just, I know what I know.
Okay. I trust you, and I trust myself more now.
Good.
You want to move on to 1878?
That's not how this works, Frater. No. we stick with 1 year. Listen, we've nailed it. We've dove in. We've learned a lot about 1877. Okay. I know a lot about you. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. If Fred dies in custody, we'll mourn him, and the podcast will go away from being a movement to try to keep Fred in prison to being a memorial to celebrate his life.
Yeah, the Red Richardson Foundation podcast.
Yes, but it's not there yet. As of today, he's still imprisoned in Dubai. It's his fourth day. He hasn't eaten because he doesn't like brown bread, and they refuse to serve him white bread. But he keeps asking for ham sandwich. They won't go for it. But I really hope that Red's doing well in prison. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Radu.
Thank you for having me. I hope Red is going to stay in prison and I can come back.
Well,
maybe you go to prison in Dubai.
Then it's your podcast. Radu's, for once, Romania's going to take something over and hold on to it. Jody, you didn't speak much today, but thank you.
Great to be here. I'll be talking lots more on the Patreon, probably.
Bye-bye, you'd like to. Thanks to our super genius patrons, Christopher, Spencer, Matthew. You know who you are. That's it. See you next week. Check the Patreon out if you want more Radu and me. Goodbye.
That was another episode of The Year Is. Thank you very much for listening. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a review. It all helps. I'd like to thank our producer, Jody, and also I'd like to thank Josh Weller for our intro music and song. It's very catchy. It's very nice. I'm sure you'll enjoy it at the beginning. So big thanks to Josh Weller. He's on Instagram at Josh Weller. Josh Weller. Follow him and keep spreading the word of The Year Is. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.